Hey everyone, welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshall, inside TCO Studios at Winter Park. My wingman, producer Nate Vaughn, is also here, and we're here to talk about the Vikings and the NFL draft and lots of other fun football-related things as the draft nears. We're now just 2 weeks away. We have a lot coming up in the show. Draft talk, steam room comes back for a second consecutive Wobcast, and of course, fan mail. One thing we want to give you guys a heads up on, though, before we come to you with another edition of the Wobcast, the Vikings offseason program will launch on Monday. So the boys are back in town as Vikings players return to Winter Park. And Nate, the energy level in the building always picks up when the guys are around and working out and roaming the halls.
Yeah, even if nothing else, there's always music playing.
Yes,
you know, like our office is right outside of the weight room. Mm-hmm. So we can always tell when, like you said, the boys are indeed back in town. The music takes it up a notch, so we know that the guys are close.
Yeah, and some guys have already been trickling in, like Harrison Smith has been here. I saw Jeremiah Searles.
Xavier Rhodes,
yeah. And I actually saw Xavier Rhodes at the Wild game the other last night, so that was kind of cool. He was there with his son. Nice. So guys have started to come back and all that, but they're going to come back in bulk beginning Monday with the offseason program, which of course is voluntary. It's not mandatory, but Mike Zimmer's had very good participation levels in his 3+ years on the job. So that we're looking forward to that. This is a part of the offseason where it kind of starts to ramp up. You have the offseason program on Monday. We are hopeful that the schedule will be released within the next 7 to 10 days. And then, of course, you have the draft in 2 weeks. So rookie minicamp the week after that. And so a lot is starting to happen here, and it's a lot of fun. Speaking of the draft, that's in 2 weeks. So let's do some draft talk, Nate.
Let's do it.
Lots of meaty subjects to get to because the steam, it starts out as like a slow warming up, you know, and then like it starts to bubble at the surface, and then the bubbles start to come from the bottom, and then the lid on the top of the pot starts to get steamy, you know, and then like the steam starts to like escape from the lid and get outside of the pot. That's where we are right now.
Yep. Yeah. You can see it seeping around the edges and filling the room.
It's super steamy right now.
It is steamy.
So we're going to go draft talk here. We're going to start with the Good Morning Football crew, the awesome daily morning show that the NFL Network produces from New York City. Our buddy Peter Schrager is on there. Kay Adams does a great job of hosting it. One of the things they talked about this week on the morning show is some under-the-radar prospects. They began talking about wide receivers, Schrags did, and then they had a local connection here in Minnesota mentioned as an under-the-radar prospect. Take a listen.
Peter's laughing at me because I'm writing down the sleepers because I'm a fantasy football GM, and I'd like to, you know.
You're all over Didi.
Yeah, I'm all over Didi. Anybody to add?
Didi Westbrook was a finalist for the Heisman, and I hadn't heard any mock draft talk, any draft, until Charlie just mentioned his name. He's one of these guys that is slipping under the radar. I love that as a pick. A guy I'll give is, you know, Cooper Kupp is getting a lot of love, but a lesser known name is Carlos Henderson out of Texas Tech. He's a guy, he's a guy that could make some plays. Carlos Henderson, the other one is Shelton Gibson. All right, Shelton Gibson out of West Virginia. He ran a 4.3 8.40 at his pro day. Think of Tavon Austin, what he did out of West Virginia, kind of that speed guy. Shelton Gibson is compared favorably to him as far as speed goes. So not a first-round pick, probably not a second-round pick, but a third-round pick that, if you look at a Jamison Crowder type, can make an impact right away.
You want a later-round sleeper? This
Go
is my
on.
Guy, Jalen Myrick out of Minnesota, ran a 4.28 at the combine. I did him as my underappreciated because John Ross got all the hype for running 4.22. Guy shows up and runs a 4.28. No one's even talking about it. It's like the second guy to run the 4-minute mile. Jalen Myrick.
6.100s.
Exactly. Yeah. I love it. Jalen Myrick, 4.28, blazer.
Jalen Myrick, Nate. Let's get another gopher up in here.
Hey, why not? He won't have to move far at all.
Right.
He might have to live off campus now. If he's, he might already be off campus.
I would recommend that.
Yeah. Yep. But other than that, yeah.
We got Marcus Sherrills here.
Yeah. He probably has a lot of buddies around to help him move when he does need to move. So just move to a different apartment, maybe downtown. I don't know.
Putting cart before the horse here. Let's just say that we draft Jalen Myrick or we get him an undrafted free agency. I don't know, whatever would be appropriate for him. You know, the Gopher football program can be the butt of some jokes. You know, in Minnesota, but it'd be awesome to be like, the pro team in town has two former Gopher corners.
That would be cool.
So, you know, Gopher fans could be like, how do you like us now? You know,
that's right.
So it'd be kind of cool. 4.28 40-yard dash for Myrick.
It's not slow.
It's not slow at all.
No, not slow.
What would be a fun way to measure a player's speed for fans unlike us would be, okay, so what's their 40 time? Oh, it's 4.32. Okay, line up and run, and we will stop you at 4.32 seconds and see how far you
yeah,
ran. So we stop you at 4.28. Myrick ran 40 yards. Nate, you ran 27.
Yeah, if that.
Right, yeah. Like, that would be kind of funny.
That would be good. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Our guys, Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah, we see them at the Combine every year, and we flew out to L.A., to see them a couple of weeks ago. They were talking on their Move the Sticks podcast about the perfect picks for all NFL teams. And this week they addressed the Vikings, picks number 48 overall and picks number 79 overall. Here are their perfect picks for the Vikings.
So let's go to the Vikings. Let's stay in the secondary. Pick number 48, no first round pick. That was part of that Sam Bradford trade. But pick 48, let's go Marcus May, the safety from Florida, who last year, remember this time, we started hearing, okay, a little bit of buzz about this Keanu Neal, man. The buzz starting to build and build, and he got his way all the way up into the first round. His college teammate here in Marcus May, I'm starting to hear some buzz about him moving up the board, Buck. A physical tone-setting player, and I love the energy he plays with as well.
Like the energy, and I think what is really indicative of his leadership ability, when Quincy Wilson was in here in the studio and he talked about who was the leader in that room, Marcus May was the one that got everyone lined up. As a deep middle defender, you like him back there. I'm going to go in the third round, and I'm going to say we need to shore up their offensive line.
You're darn right you do.
They have four starters that they're pretty good with. I still think they need a guard. How about Dorian Johnson from Pittsburgh? When I look at the tape, Mauler Brawler does a great job of moving people off the ball. When I think about the Minnesota Vikings, when they're at their best is when they have the ability to run the football when they want to, but still being able to protect. And as Sam Bradford takes over as the franchise quarterback, you want to make sure he doesn't see that heat inside. This is a guy that can protect him, keep him upright.
I like that pick a lot. Good football player.
My guy, Marcus May.
He's back. Second week in a row we talk about him. More I think steam. Maybe it was the week before, but yeah.
Or maybe it's 3 weeks in a row. I don't know. Truth be told, though, you know, I like to watch a game or two of a lot of these prospects, not because I want to be like, you know, the next Todd McShay or anything like that, or I think I know what I'm talking about, but I just want to be able to say like four or five things about a guy when someone asks me about him.
Sure.
I have not done this with Marcus May. This is all just me stealing other people's opinions on Marcus May. That's all it is.
That's an easy way to do it.
It is. Yeah. So maybe we should turn on and watch one or two games of Marcus May.
Maybe we should.
I don't know.
Maybe not the game where they played my Iowa Hawkeyes, though.
Oh, did that not go well for
that
you?
Didn't go so well.
Okay.
So, well, but there's plenty of other games to
there's
watch.
There's probably 40-some other games
yeah.
of his,
yeah.
right?
You're probably right.
And then Dorian Johnson, described by Bucky Brooks as a mauler, but can also protect Sam when it comes to pass protection. So Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks mock draft safety Marcus May to the Vikings in the second round, and then with their first pick in the third round, they beef up the Vikings offensive line with Dorian Johnson. All right, let's switch to the Vikings' current roster, not prospective players.
The guys we already have.
But the guys that we currently have. It's time to do a positional update, Nate. So where do you want to go this time?
Let's go to the defensive backfield.
Okay.
Let's talk about corners and safeties.
An important spot on your roster because you have, like, you could keep anywhere from six corners and five safeties. So on your final 53, you can have anywhere from 10 to 12 defensive backs on your roster. They play defense, but they also, a lot of them play on special teams. And then, you know, you can bring upwards of 20, 22, 23 of them to camp. So this is an important spot with lots of numbers. We'll start at corner, and when I started writing this out, Nate, what came to mind for me at corner is even though we have Xavier Rhodes, who has been good and will be back, it's a little bit of a transitional time at corner for us, I think.
Yeah.
With Captain Munnerlyn leaving via free agency, with Terrence Newman now in the year-to-year phase of his career, looks like he'll be back in 2017, which is super cool. But it's definitely the Trey Waynes, Mac Alexander transition time. I think in an ideal world, the team would be leaning on both of those guys to play a lot of snaps in a lot of games. And so that's where we start with the positional update at cornerback. We start with Xavier Rhodes, Trey Waynes, and Mac Alexander. I think in a perfect world, those would be the three guys who are playing a ton. And then you mix in some Terrence Newman. And I think if you can mix in Terrence Newman with Mac Alexander at slot corner the same way you mixed in Trey Waynes with Terrence Newman last year, if you can do that with Mac this year, I think Mac Alexander has a chance to take a significant step forward in terms of his development, kind of following that same path that Trey Waynes followed as a rookie and then going into his second year. After all of those guys, of course, you have Xavier Rhodes, who anchors the group. Also on the roster, Jabari Price, a draft pick from a couple of years ago. Trey Roberson, a converted wide receiver, really good athlete, was on the practice squad. I think a guy to watch here in training camp once we get down to Mankato in July. Terrell Sinkfield, another guy who has transitioned from wide receiver, is back with the Vikings now trying to make it as a corner. And then, of course, we won't forget about Marcus Sherrills. We all consider him a special teams ace, but his true defensive position is corner. And then we have Cedric Thompson, who's listed as a defensive back. You can certainly see the Vikings addressing cornerback in the draft at some point, right, Nate?
Yeah, I think it would make sense.
You know, to beef up those numbers, give Mike Zimmer a toy. He's really good with defensive backs. We mentioned Cedric Thompson, another former Gopher, listed as a defensive back because maybe there's some ambiguity as to whether he is a corner or a safety. So speaking of safeties, we have this one guy named Harrison Smith.
I think I've heard of him before.
He's good at playing safety.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So when you address and analyze the Vikings' safety position, it by definition cannot be bad because you have Harrison Smith. So like if you and I were filling out the depth chart at safety, Harrison is so good that you would still say the Vikings are okay at safety.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So we have him, and he's good, and he's going to start.
I'm just imagining either of us lining up at safety in an NFL game now.
Would not be good.
No, no.
If you thought we were thin against Arizona in 2015 in the secondary, put us back there, you're hurting.
I'll just, you know the rule, you can't let anybody behind you. So, you know,
if you had
you can't get beat if you stand on the goal line for every play.
What would be your strategy if you had to play safety for a series with Harrison Smith in Mike Zimmer's defense against an NFL team? What would, like, okay, Harrison, you do this, I'm going to do this. What would this be for you?
I'd tell Harrison to try to do both of our jobs.
Yeah.
And if he can't do that, I'll just run back as far as I can so nobody gets past me. So if, you know, they have a deep ball or someone breaks loose, I can try to get in the way so someone else can make the tackle.
Yeah. Nightmare scenario is you are playing deep safety, but it's a running play. And running back has gotten to third level.
Yeah.
Nightmare. Nightmare.
I am going to have nightmares tonight because of that.
That's a nightmare. All right. So next to him was Andrew Sendejo. He won this starting safety competition last year. At this time last year, we were talking about who's going to start next to Harrison Smith. It could be Andrew Sendejo. Maybe it's Anthony Harris. Maybe it's Jayron Kearse. Although I guess technically at this time last year we didn't have Jayron Kearse yet because we didn't draft him yet, but you know what I'm saying. It was an open competition that Andrew Sendejo won. We have another competition, I would imagine, heading into 2017. You have to make Andrew Sendejo the front runner because he is the incumbent and he was okay there last year. And he knows where all the bones are buried in Mike Zimmer's defense. But he's going to have to win another competition if he wants to be the starter. He will battle Jayron Kearse, Anthony Harris, Anton Exum, among others. Those are the safeties on the roster right now. Once again, would not be a surprise to see the Vikings address this position, the safety position, in the draft. Lots of names that we could throw out at you, including Marcus May. I like Obi Melifonwu, the safety from UConn, who's like 6'4" and was off the charts at the combine. One thing I really liked that I believe it was Daniel Jeremiah said about Marcus May was he kind of compared him, not in necessarily in playing style, but in terms of how good of a player they are, what people think of him right now, but where they wound up being drafted. He compared him to Keanu Neal from the Falcons, who was dynamite this year for them.
Also from Florida.
Correct. Teammate Keanu Neal. Yeah, good call. It'd be awesome to have a Keanu Neal-like impact from a rookie safety next to Harrison Smith.
Definitely.
This year. So that's it for the positional update for this Wobcast. Next week when we come to you, we'll have another positional update. I think we'll throw quarterbacks and running backs at some people next week because we haven't done them.
Well, I think we did running backs.
We did.
But we'll do quarterbacks. Okay. Whoever's left, we'll figure it out.
Definitely quarterbacks, though.
Yes.
Because I don't think we've done them.
Right.
Ooh, offensive line, maybe.
There we go.
Another position.
On-air production meeting.
Right, we just had one. Another position where you bring, you know, like 15 of them to camp, and you wind up keeping 10. You could even bring more than 15, I guess, but an important position, of course, for the Vikings. All right.
Time to step into the steam room.
Dude, steamy. I love this.
It is warm in here, so wipe off your glasses, you know, get the, right. Maybe we need to get the dehumidifier in here.
Do you need a towel?
Bit. Yeah, I've got to,
okay.
I got to dab my forehead a little bit. Got to cool down.
I really want to do number three on this, so I'll do one and three. You do number two.
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
First item, number one in the steam room, from our buddy Adam Schefter. He tweets, at Adam Schefter, tweets, Cleveland has not made up its mind at number one, per source. Split opinions. Some like Myles Garrett. Some like Mitchell Trubisky. We will see, says Adam Schefter.
The drama. So dramatic.
Oh, man. Now,
so much drama you can squeeze into a tweet.
A year ago, check that. 8 months ago, check that. 6 months ago, Mitchell Trubisky could have walked into this room and punched me in the face, and I would not know who he was. He might be the number one pick.
Yeah. That's steamy.
Yeah,
It's been kind of assumed that Myles Garrett is going to be the first pick for basically the entire offseason.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
and one wonders how much of that might be fabricated, how much of it might be true.
Right. Because, like,
when really they're going to surprise us and pick neither of those guys.
Solomon Thomas from Stanford or something. Yeah. Because, like, if you are, let's say you're thinking of doing something way outside the box of traditional conventional thinking. Everyone thinks it's going to be Myles Garrett, the outside linebacker / defensive end edge rusher from Texas A&M. But let's say you've kind of starting to get the opinion as a team, or let's say you're the owner of the team and you kind of got the itch where you want to take the quarterback that you like, but you're kind of wondering what public perception would be of that. You know, you can leak something like this out there as a trial balloon and just see what people are saying. And if you get absolutely ripped, you know, now you know what the reaction is going to be, and you know what you have to do to build up the right reaction, or you know to not do that. Not that you would let public discord govern what you're going to do, but
I'm sure the Browns were hoping to get a take on the WAPcast about this exact thing.
So Jimmy Haslam, who's indeed listening, I would imagine, this is what we think about it. But so Schefter got some info on the Browns. He says there's some indecision right now at number one. Will be interesting to see what happens.
Another steamy report from Ian Rapoport. Restricted free agent action, Hashtag Patriots recently hosted hashtag Bills. Restricted free agent Mike Gillisley on a visit, source said, thinking face emoji. Gillisley has an original fifth round tender. You know, because the Patriots need more running backs.
And they need more of the Bills' restricted free agents.
Right. So the Patriots, they play the Bills twice a year, and then it seems like they just beat them in the offseason again.
Yeah, they just take all their players. Stephon Gilmore, signed him in unrestricted free agency. They took Chris Hogan, the wide receiver, via restricted free agency from them last year, and now it might be running back Mike Gillisley. They traded for Wes Welker, who was a restricted free agent of the Dolphins, like, you know, 5 or 6, 7, 8 years ago. The Patriots like the RFA market, man. They like to get into that.
That's interesting.
Because
most teams use that to kind of keep other teams away. But the Patriots are like, no, we'll take a look.
We'll have that guy. Yeah. And wonder if this is any sort of like, hey, LeGarrette, did you see what that guy over there? Mike Gillisley? Yeah, we're bringing him in for a visit. LeGarrette, did you see that? Like, you know,
you don't hear a lot about LeGarrette Blount this offseason.
Yeah, maybe it's, and I don't know why, but the WAPcast has learned he had 18 touchdowns last year.
That's right. The WAPcast is the only noise you hear for LeGarrette Blount.
Right.
That's probably not true.
18 touchdowns last year for LeGarrette Blount. So it's just funny that the running back market, you hear about where's Eddie Lacy going, and the Vikings got Latavius Murray, which was super cool, and now Marshawn Lynch might come out of retirement. That would be awesome. But you just haven't heard a lot about LeGarrette Blount, and he's the guy last year who had the best production of all those guys. But anyway, I guess Latavius, you could argue Latavius was more productive because he had more yards and he had 12 touchdowns, but yeah. you get the point. All right, number three, Bucky Brooks on path to the draft with a day two sleeper and comparison, Nate. Here's the sound.
Bucky Brooks, a day two sleeper. Give me one.
Dede Westbrook is the next coming of DeSean Jackson. People forget that DeSean Jackson was a second round pick, has been one of the best big play playmakers in NFL history. Dede Westbrook will match him. 4-3 speed, outstanding hands, gets it done, taking the top off the defense.
All right, that is bold, but can you make a bold, an official bold prediction?
Pat Mahomes is a top 15 pick. I hear comparisons to Matthew Stafford and Jay Cutler. It's not coming from me. It's coming from outside. It's going to happen.
Dede Westbrook. Love it. University of Oklahoma, the next DeSean Jackson, says Bucky Brooks.
That'd be all right. That'd be all right if we had the next DeSean Jackson on our team.
Yes.
The Wobcast has learned DeSean Jackson, a productive wide receiver.
Good at playing football. Imagine this as the outcome for the Vikings draft. Second round, they take a right guard. Third round, first pick, running back. Third round, second pick, center. Fourth round, Dede Westbrook. Now, putting aside how good that would actually be, like how it would turn out to be, in terms of like, oh, let's look on Monday and see what your draft grade was from all the experts. If those were the positions you hit, I think like everyone would be like, oh, Vikings won the draft.
Yeah.
If they took two offensive linemen, mm-hmm. A running back and a wide receiver, like those are the things that if you do those things, you win the draft according to all the analysts.
People like those types of
things. Yes, that would work for you. So again, not that public discourse should govern what you do in the draft room, not saying that at all, just making the observation that if that's what you did, the reaction would be quite positive.
All right, let's step out of the steam room, get some air,
okay,
and let's read some fan mail.
Okay, sounds good.
First question is from Paul. Mm-hmm. He says, if the Vikings wanted to make a trade to get into the first round of the draft this year, what would it cost the Vikings? Is there any possible scenario where this could happen?
Yes, possible scenarios, yes. You could construct one where it happens. I think it's unlikely this year, although you always have to be careful with that because it's Rick, and Rick has shown a willingness to move up and get a guy that he wants. He's also shown the patience to stand pat, and he's also traded back. It would be pretty costly, though. The Vikings have two third-round picks, and I believe there's a good chance it would cost you one of those third-round picks to go from 48 to 32. And that's pretty spendy, a third round pick. So,
and that may not even be enough.
That could not be enough. Or you could have to give up your second third round pick, which is 86 overall, plus like a fifth or a sixth, And so it's going to be pretty costly to do that. Doesn't mean they won't do it, but I think the cost is pretty prohibitive.
So Vikings fans, if you're wondering what to do Thursday night during the draft, just relax.
Right. Chill.
Chances are you don't really have to worry about whether you need to have a hot take in the morning about whether your team picked the right or wrong guy.
Right.
Just relax. Watch other teams mess their own drafts up.
And push good players down to us, we hope.
Yeah, think of it that way.
Relax. Or do TGIT on ABC. Thank God it's Thursday on ABC. Lots of good shows.
Or that. Yeah. And then tune in for the second night of the draft when your favorite team's in action.
Or just follow the Vikings on your favorite social media platforms because we're going to be at the draft. So we'll be sending content your way via those platforms.
You have many options.
Right.
Many options. Second question.
Mm-hmm.
Second fan question from David. David says, what do you think of the idea of trading up into the second round and having two second round picks?
There we go.
That sounds like it might be
a little more reasonable.
Plausible.
Because now instead of going from 48 to 32, which those are premium picks, and it costs a lot to move that many spots when you're that high in the draft. Now you're talking about going, from the 80s to the 60s or the 50s maybe, and that's a little more doable. And so I think that might maybe has a little higher probability. And I would love it if the Vikings did it because they thought a guy was there who was special and they had to go get him. And they couldn't believe he was there. I would be all in on that. I would love that. But I would also love having three picks in the top 86, which is what we currently have.
Right.
And I know we don't have a first-round pick, so that can get people down on the draft. But we have three in the top 86, which is as much or more than most teams have in the top 86.
Right.
And so I think I like the idea of having three in the top 86 better than I like the idea of using some of that currency to have just one high pick or to have two little bit higher picks. I think I'd rather have three in the top 86.
Final question from Mark. Mm-hmm. I like this week's pick six question about ex-Vikings you would like to see on the Vikings today, but I think it would be better to go with the guys still in the league for the answer. So what about current players?
Okay, if you missed this week's edition of the pick six, one of the six questions was, if you could put a former Viking onto the current Vikings roster, who would you pick? And I thought it was a cool, fun question. So we put it in the pick six, and my decision came down to John Randall and Randall McDaniel. I don't want to be one of these guys who disrespects the past and only picks the players you watched play. I did mention you can't go wrong with the Purple People Eaters. Of course you can't go wrong with Fran Tarkenton. But I was thinking about what, you know, I was getting very specific on what we could use. Like Randall McDaniel played guard, and I think you can argue he is the best offensive guard of all time. I think you can argue that. 12-time Pro Bowler. I think he was a 9-time first-team All-Pro. Super athletic. I think, and we have perhaps an open competition for a guard spot. So to me,
kind of hard to argue against that.
Right. Exactly. So to me, the answer was Randall McDaniel, with apologies to John Randall, who had like 138 sacks from the defensive tackle position. Really was, I don't want to say one of the first, but was one of the best pass rush production defensive tackles ever. Because normally big sack numbers like 138 for your career are by defensive ends. Like Derek Thomas, outside linebackers, defensive end, Lawrence Taylor, Derek Thomas, Reggie White, those guys. This was a defensive tackle with 138 sacks. So to me, it came down to John Randall and Randall McDaniel, and then I ended up leaning toward Randall McDaniel. But Mark is throwing a wrench into the question and saying, current NFL players who were one-time Vikings, who would you like to have back? And so I thought it was interesting. I racked my brain a little bit. I asked some people around the building just because I had a hard time coming up with a lot of names. Yeah. Like Donald Penn was an undrafted player Vikings signed. He's the Raiders left tackle. That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
How about Mike Wallace?
Yeah. Yeah. Not too recent or not too distant past.
Yeah. Huh. Different quarterback, different offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
I don't know. Might be interesting to have another go around with that. And then as recent as you can get, Captain. Wouldn't it be cool to have Captain back?
It would be good to have Captain around. Back. Yep.
Yeah. Although I'm very pro the transition to Trey Waynes and Mac Alexander. I'm totally fine with that. You drafted those guys with premium picks, so you better play them eventually. But the three best names I could come up with were Captain, Mike Wallace, and Donald Penn.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of any others. And
I think it's a good sign that we can't think of a lot of them.
Yeah.
Because that must mean we're retaining our good ones.
That or we just forget about players once they move
Maybe.
On.
Maybe. That could be it, too. But see, I wanted to guard against that, and that's why I asked some other people. Yep. Like I asked Tom West and Sam
Newton.
Did
it the right way.
And so that's what we came up with. You guys listening can decide which former Viking you'd most like to have, whether it's current active player or one in the past. If you want to chime in, go ahead and do so. Email me. You know where to find my email address. If you don't, go to the Monday Morning Mailbag. Hint, hint. My email address is posted there, or you can reach out to us on Twitter.
That's it.
It's over.
That's it. That's all we got. We steamed. We talked about the draft. We answered some fan mail.
Right. Talked we did what we do.
Yeah. We did another Wobcast.
We did, yeah.
That's what we did.
We Wobcasted today. You did as well, so thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with another edition of the Wobcast, where the one-week countdown to the 2017 NFL Draft will begin next Thursday. So there will be lots to talk about. If you want to sound off on the Vikings, on the NFL, or on really any other topic, you can do so via Twitter. You can catch me at Wobby, W-O-B-B-Y. You can also go to the Monday Morning Mailbag, where you will find my email address. I have a long last name, and it's laborious to give you my email address verbally, so just go to the mailbag. Give us an article click. Give us a video view. because we have videos in the mailbag, and then email me your question or your comment, and maybe we'll include it on next week's Wobcast. Good job, Nate.
Makes sense to me. Thank okay. you.
All right. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, signing off for now. Talk to you guys next week. So, yeah!